thank you, Brother Schumacher, and praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I was reminded this morning before I got up to preach, we go County C to our church in Sheboygan Falls from Plymouth, and there's this little white church. I won't name the denomination, but this little white church, and they always have a sign. I never see very many cars in their parking lot, but they always have this sign out front. And this week it was, if you're having problems sleeping, listen to one of Dale's sermons. And I think Dale is their pastor. Well, I hope that won't be the case tonight. You know, aren't you glad for truth? The Bible, and I want to say this before I preach tonight, because, and I'm not, thank God for this morning, but any man of God that is worth their salt knows that where messages come from. And it's not from the internet, and it's not from the newspaper necessarily. It's not from Sermons Are Us on the internet. But there's these thoughts that all of a sudden the Almighty just places in your spirit. Just a thought, many times. And then all of a sudden, it starts building and building. Heard your pastor say that he's been working 2 days on a message. And I know. But what I want to lay the foundation to this message today is the Scripture says that all Scripture, would you say all Scripture, is given by inspiration from God. This book is not a choose what you want to situation. Hello? It's not pick and choose. It's not I believe this, I don't believe that, tear out page 420. No, no, no. It's the whole enchilada. From the beginning to the ending. Amen. All Scripture. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. Very familiar scripture to almost all of us, I'm sure. But it's a challenge by God. God is saying, if you will do this, then I will do this. Huh? The Bible tells us he gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey him. It just doesn't come floating out there. No, obedience marks the fertile ground where the Holy Ghost can come into. And in 2 Chronicles and 7:14, the Lord says, if my people, he's not talking about everybody. He's not talking about the unbeliever. He's not talking about those that have a different persuasion or a different view or even a different quote-unquote God. He is talking to us. He said, if my people, and then he clarifies it more, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. I know I'm speaking to a praying church, and thank God for it. and seek my face. Many people seek his hand of blessing. But I'll tell you, if you really want to know what we're really like, it's when we seek his face. When we seek his face, then we begin to see the real us. And turn from their wicked ways. The if. There comes the then. The Lord says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Anybody glad for forgiveness in this house tonight? I'll forgive their sin. And will heal their land. Church, America is in desperate need of healing tonight. The book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. Solomon writes, is the one that God uses to be inspired to write this book. It's called The Preacher. He talks about there's a time for this and a time for that. And all things come to the beauty in God's time. But Solomon writes something very interesting in verse 14. He said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. He says in verse 15, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is being challenged his authority. I just give you a word of wisdom. It's not a good thing to try to challenge God's authority. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation here. Verse 54 of the 12th chapter of Luke says, then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, when you see clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, here comes a shower. And I don't know, but tonight I could say, here comes a shower. And the Lord says, and you're right. Verse 55 says, when the south wind blows, you say, today will be a scorcher. And it is. And then he says to this group that's challenging him in verse 56, you fools. You know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. I know this is from God, folks. I want to speak to you tonight about climate change. Climate change. Would you put down your Bibles? And Pastor, will you pray tonight? And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbors. Well, I guess you better not shake their hand today. But you might look them in the eyes and say, yep, he's going to talk about climate change. Now, church, as you're being seated, I realize that more than likely you have never heard of that term. Yeah, right. Quite frankly, everything that is happening on this planet today is being blamed on this sole subject of climate change. I'm so glad that your pastor said he's so tired of hearing about trust the science. Forest fires, the culprits, climate change. Hurricanes cause climate change. Drought cause climate change. Horrific rainfall, you guessed it, climate change. Arctic ice melting, climate change. But what we don't hear about is that divorce is also caused by climate change. Murder is a result of climate change. Anarchy is caused by climate change. Lawlessness is caused by climate change. Race problems and the result thereof is caused by climate change. All types of gender paranoia is caused by climate change. It's the fault of climate change. The list is endless, folks. But brothers and sisters, I'm convinced on the authority of God's word that all of this is true. Boy, I wish I had a Polaroid snapshot right now of some of your faces. But before you turn me off, before I even get started, I pray that you listen carefully this evening. Because if you don't, even that action could be caused by climate change. The definition for climate change is a change in global or regional climate patterns. In particular, a change apparent from the mid to late 20th century onwards, attributed largely to the increased levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide produced by the use of fossil fuels. How many's ever heard that in the last 10 years? Yes, brothers and sisters, man has everything to do with climate change, but not necessarily as the world would like for you and I to believe it. When I was a youngster, I was pretty devious. Don't ask my wife, she may say that I still am. Truthfully, I was a little devil. My parents had, this is back in the 50s, folks. My parents had just purchased their first electric blanket for their bed. My mother loved it. She enjoyed the warmth coming from her new blanket, whereas my father liked a much more cooler feel. So they purchased a dual-controlled electric blanket. It was perfect. They were both satisfied, for each of them could adjust the climate temperature to their own comfort level for each side of the bed, adjusting to their individual liking until one day I decided to change their sleeping climate. I switched their controls. Forgive me, Lord. My mom couldn't get warm enough that evening and kept on turning what she thought was her control up to the max, while my dad was absolutely boiling, probably to the point of sweating, and was turning his control completely off. Needless to say, they were not happy campers that next morning when they found out what the real cause of their discomfort was caused by. Church, can I tell you this evening, I'm fully assured, I am fully convinced that Almighty God is in complete control of the world's physical climate. I love the summer season and its warmth. But life and the calendar prove to us that we are now slipping into a new climate change, a new climate pattern, the season of fall. But notice again what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. What Solomon is basically stating, church, is that God is the author of everything. And whatever he does, it's going to be forever, because he is an everlasting God. Mere human beings cannot add to it or take away from it. It is God that is in control. Verse 15 stated, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. What the word is saying is that everything, church, is cyclical. Such as the seasons of the year. Or, for example, where does rain come from? I'm sure that many of you are well versed. It originates in the great bodies of water here on earth. That's its source. And when the evaporation process takes place, it literally draws the water out of these bodies of water. And as the water vapor is caught in the atmosphere, then clouds are formed. And when the temperature begins to change, the clouds become heavy with water they carry. And it is then released back on earth, in which it all flows back to the seas. And church, this cycle has been and still is, as it was set in motion by God at the creation of this earth. And it continues to cycle again and again and again. From creation to this very day, it continues to work. Well, one may ask, well, then why are we seeing so many climate disasters?
Most of California is charred sticks. Most of the South around New Orleans and that area are flooding about every year, every other year. We got tornadoes in the Midwest. Am I telling the truth? Why are we seeing so many climate disasters? Across the world, and especially here in our own nation. The answer is obvious. Because here in America and around the world, we have seen a dramatic climate change. Not in the physical realm, but in the realm of the spirit. Oh, yes, church. When a nation turns its back on God, when it ignores God's word and chooses to promote and follow its own rebellious ways, then God brings forth his judgment against those nations that he is trying to correct. Remember, church, Peter wrote about it in his general epistle in 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's judgments are meant for people to wake up spiritually, so that they would repent and correct their way. You see, God deals with each of us as individuals with our own sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What you sow is what you're going to reap. Too many of us sow those wild oats, and then when we get old enough that we know what we've done or that we know what we did, amen, we're praying for a crop failure. But I'm telling you, we're still going to reap what we sow. My wife keeps on saying, I don't understand why I had to reap everything you sowed as a kid with our kids. But you see, when a nation permits and promotes that which is directly against God's word and his will, then he uses his very own creation to bring judgment upon those nations. For the sole purpose of spiritually waking them up. How many of you think our nation needs a spiritual awakening? Huh? That's what Solomon at the end of verse 14 wrote, that men should fear before him. In the Old Testament, for example, King Ahab, he was a wicked king. He was the ruler of the northern kingdom called Israel. He was married to Jezebel, an extremely wicked woman. Ahab himself was an idolater, and he turned God's people against God, having them worship a false so-called deity named Baal. He had them bowing their knees to a golden calf that was fashioned by man. However, God sent his prophet Elijah to foretell what the Almighty was about to do. 1 Kings 17 and 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The great I Am used his prophet to bring forth a prophecy about climate change that would judge the northern kingdom because of their rebellion and sin. They experienced 3.5 years of absolute drought. Not one drop of rainfall. Listen, folks, in that day there were no automobiles to put the blame on. There were no major coal factories back then to blame fossil fuels. No, it was sin, my friend, that caused God to bring forth judgment upon them. We read about Elijah challenging the false prophets of Baal. They yelled and pleaded and shed their own blood and begging a false deity that didn't even exist to intercede for them. But when Elijah, God's man, stood forth, I think it was like 450-1, they thought they were following the science. Hello? Because that's what the majority said. My friend, I don't care what the majority says. I just want to know what the book says. I want to know what God has to say. And God said to them that indeed in the presence of them all, let the God that answers by fire. And sure enough, fire burnt up the sacrifice and licked up all the water. 1 Kings 18 and 1 says, and it came to pass after many days, listen carefully to this, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Jehovah was once again about to change the climate, and it rained in abundance. In the New Testament, recorded in Matthew's gospel, Jesus stated, Matthew 24, 37, he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Anybody eat and drink today? Hello? And by the way, ladies, or whoever fixed that meal, it was delicious. I promise you I'll wear it well. They were eating and drinking. They were marrying. Any married folk in here? Huh? Come on, admit it. And they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. I want you to remind you who is speaking here. It is God robed in flesh. It is the one that authored the very book. It is the one that indeed told Noah to build an ark. It's the one that indeed waited until it was all built. And he got all of what he wanted on that ark. And bless God, he brought forth the judgment. Amen. It says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In Noah's day, everything appeared to be normal. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. The scripture describes everyday normal living until the ensuing judgment came. However, church, it wasn't as if God's judgment was without warning. For the scripture states that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And for over 100 years, he was preaching to others while at the same time, in the middle of a desert, if you please, he was building an ark. His message was simple. A climate change was coming. Get on board the ark. It wasn't fossil fuels that was their problem then. Church, the problem was, and it still is, sin. The Word of God states that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Anybody found grace in the eyes of the Lord in this building? Amen. Are you thankful for that grace? Are you thankful for that? Could you one more time stand to your feet and lift up your holy hands and thank him? I mean, thank him for the grace of God that led you to repentance, to the grace of God that has kept you in the good times and the bad, that is keeping us right now from all the judgments that is coming upon this earth. Hallelujah. You may be seated. After that judgment fell and the ark rested, months later upon Mount Ararat, God made a covenant with Noah and with all of us. Did you hear me? He made a covenant with Noah and with all of us. Say, well, church, that was thousands of years ago. My friend, there's no time to God. He knows exactly. He is the end from the beginning. Amen. I'm telling you, when he saw Noah, he saw John Putnam, he saw Jim Schumacher, he saw every one of us in this book, amen, in this church and in this world. I'm telling you, he made that covenant with Noah and you and I. And he said, and God spake unto Noah, Genesis 9 and 8, and to his sons with him, saying, and I behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl and of the cattle and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. How many are living in perpetual generations? I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which was between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Do you realize, church, that that covenant is still intact at this very moment? God told Noah in Genesis 8:22, he said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. I'm telling you, church, that so-called pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, anybody ever heard of that? Would you please raise your hand so I know that I'm not nuts here? Amen. I don't suppose anybody's found that, because I'll tell you what the pot of gold really is. I'll tell you what the pot of gold is. Really, it's the fact that God's promise word is still intact. His promises are still true. And if that promise is true, every other promise in this book is true as well. Church, now let's fast forward to right now, to the present. I don't know about you, but this is not the America that I was brought up in. Well, that's just because you're an old fogey, Brother Putnam. No. This isn't the America that I remember. Oh, sure, there has and there will always be sin. Because again, I say, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. But have any of you noticed, and let's be real honest here, have any of you noticed a distinct climate difference today? And I'm not just talking about weather. Have you? We are being told that we need to be woke. How many has heard that? That we need to accept this liberal proclaimed garbage, hook, line, and sinker. We're told to accept all what this present anti-God, anti-righteous, anti-Christian society tells us. About a month ago, we have three dogs. We just replaced our three children. We have two standard poodles and one Westie Poo, which is half West Highland Terrier and toy poodle. And that's the girl. The other two are guys, and she rules the roost. She is the mouthy one. Matter of fact, one of the standards has to have surgery in the morning. I've been giving him antibodies for the last month. Whatever. And the little one, she barks at me because she can't have it too. Well, she don't need it, but she wants the medicine. But they quit eating their food. All three of them. Just quit eating their food. Cold turkey. I don't know if it was a conspiracy or what. So I decided that I would start looking maybe for a better dog food for them online. And I got to this one company that specializes in dog food. I couldn't believe it. It was looked like I was signing up for some job. I mean, they asked what the name of the dog was, how old the dog was, what the breed of the dog was. And then when it came to gender, I couldn't believe it, folks. They only gave me two choices. Folks, this stuff just didn't start this past year. This has been going on for a while. This has been in the making for some time. And little by little, God has been trying to get the attention of this nation, the United States of America. How? Through dramatic climate change. As a direct result of America's spiritual climate change. Some will say, well, why? What has America done? I can almost choke when I hear the president of the United States, whoever the president is, say, God bless America. Well, I want America to be blessed too. But I know that it's not going to be blessed if we continue on this road that we're going. Hello? I thank God for the freedom I feel in this house tonight. I thank God for the spirit that I feel in this house tonight. But I'll tell you, church, for us to legalize, amen, a nation to murder over 50 million babies in the last several decades, and for us to legalize abominations that are well spelled out and condemned in Scripture, with so-called good Christian denominations now accepting such practices and ordaining even clergy that openly practice such. Matter of fact, I don't know if you read it, but just a couple of weeks ago, one denomination selected a transgendered bishop to preside over 200 congregations. I'm telling you, church, there is an evil element in our nation and in this world that is literally giving God the finger. The leadership of America, in many respects, has turned its back on God. And the spiritual climate of this nation has changed. And consequently, the physical climate of this nation has and is changing. Disaster after disaster. My brothers and sisters, this world's wokeness is nothing more than spiritual blindness. No wonder in the last book of the Bible, as the Apostle John gave forth a description of each of the seven church ages, he says in Revelation 3 and 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Oh, I know, church, we don't like to have preaching like this. But we got to stay woken up, folks. Not by this world's wokeness, but by an awakening of Almighty God to His righteousness, to His holiness, to turning our back not on Him, but on sin, and following Him the best that we can. I hope this is okay, Pastor. He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not, God says, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Our nation would be without hope if our Lord ended the verse in that chapter right there. But this is our God. This is the God that put a mercy seat above the law. This is a God, amen, that fashioned everything in the Old Testament to be reflected in the New Testament. He says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And here it is, verse 19, for as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you remember the day after 9/11? America went to her knees. But that didn't last long enough. Church, wow. He said, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, when Jesus walks into the picture, everything changes. The whole attitude changes. The whole environment changes. That's why you can walk into this house as a sinner, and you can walk back out as a saint of God. You can walk in here as a derelict. Amen. And you can walk out there straight as an arrow. Why? Because God is the climate changer of our lives. There's an awesome, incredible, spiritual climate change. Should it really surprise us, church, that when God led his children out of slavery, he did so by what? By leading them with a cloud and with a pillar of fire. Apostolic Faith Church, we need to make sure in these last days, we are in the last days, that each and every one of us are on fire for Jesus Christ. We're just not patty caking for him. We're here because we mean something. We know that we need to be here. Not just because we just need to be here, but we're here to love him. We're here to worship him. We're here to exalt his holy name. We're here indeed to be the people, his people, that are called by his name. Amen. That if we'll humble ourselves and pray, on fire to the point that the spiritual climate of our worship services, that there is no question that our prayers are powerful, that our faithfulness is without question, that our belief is well-rooted and established in Scripture, and that the spiritual climate of every service is permeated with the presence of our gracious Savior. Stand with me. The prophet Haggai, through God's own anointing, rebuked God's people for putting their own desires above the will of God, of what God was desiring. He wrote, Haggai 1, verse 7, this thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Oh, they were so interested in doing their own life and neglecting the house of God. God said, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. And what does God use? Verse 10 says, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Climate change, folks. Haggai continued to write, the Lord speaking said, and I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. And then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people. Are you ready for this? Obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Church, climate change is real. Brothers and sisters, we need to be about our Master's business like never before. We need to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, as the people in Haggai's day they did. We need to choose to obey the Lord. So you and I need to obey the word of the Lord. And Jesus said, go ye into the highways and the byways. Go into all the world. We can't just cloister ourselves, folks. The story that He has written in your own life that we talked about this morning, He wants to put on display every day that you and I live. What makes you so different? Why are you so happy? Why do you have peace? I'll tell you why. Because, Charter, we've had a climate change. We had an attitude adjustment. We had a cleansing. Hallelujah. And I say to you today, Apostolic Faith Church, Jesus is coming. Do you hear me? Oh, well, they've been saying that for years, Brother Putnam. Yes, and they might be saying it for the next couple hundred. I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. Just like it was in the days of Noah, everything appeared to be just going on as usual. But I'm telling you, things are not going on right now as usual. It's a different world. We're getting closer and closer to the trumpet sound. And I would suggest to all of us, if my people, as God told us, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. and I will heal their land. Every head bowed in this room, every eye closed. How many of you right now need a spiritual climate change? Oh, yes, I know, Brother Putnam, I can go through the apostolic motions. I know what to do. I know when to raise my hands. I know when to clap. I know when to kneel. But what's going on? What's going on in that inside of your soul? Amen. Are you pleasing him? Are you walking with him on a daily basis? I'm telling you, church, if you need a climate change, an attitude adjustment right now, I'm inviting you right now afresh. Amen. Oh, yeah, well, we did that this morning. Yes, and we'll do it next week, and we'll do it until the trumpet sounds. Why? Because we want to be ready. We want to be ready when the Lord comes, when indeed the rapture takes place and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they which are alive and remain shall be caught up with the Lord, and so shall we ever, ever, ever be with the Lord. Why don't we cry out to him tonight, church? Why don't we cry out to him tonight? God, use me, God. Use me in this last day, God. Hallelujah, God. I don't want to just live for myself. I don't want to just live for my kingdom. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, help us, God. 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 Hallelujah. Walks into the room. Everything changes. Would you let him walk afresh into the confines of your soul, of your spirit? Hallelujah. If you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, would you just believe him that he loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to fill you? Hallelujah. He wants to bless you. He wants you indeed to be in encouraged. He wants you indeed to walk confidently. We sang about it tonight. Hallelujah, God. We're his people. We're his people. We're his people. But we're going to find, as we have in this pandemic, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That's why we all need to be ready. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.